I thank you, Father, for our hearts that are thankful, so full of thankfulness, Lord. And even today, as your girls, even as your little girls, Lord, return us to that place of awe and wonder. Even when we were little babes, just the awe and wonder of life and creativity around us, that just the creation, Lord, because of you being our creator. Let us find delight in the littlest things, the simple pleasures. Lord, open up our eyes to see your beauty, not to focus on the things that are dark and evil, Lord, but condition us, quicken it in us, to turn to your light and to your life, the life that is within us. I thank you, Father, for who you are, and that we can always come running to you as Daddy. And for those that, you know, we just didn't have that place of that love found in our earthly daddies, Lord, we thank you that we have that place in you. If we just take a moment and ponder that, let's just do that for a minute. To see yourself crawling into your daddy, your daddy God's lap, whatever aid you want and need, to find yourself going into his lap of security. Feel his love come around you, clothe you, bathe you with his holy presence, driving out all darkness and shame and guilt and anger, hurt. Heavenly Father, I ask you, fall upon your ladies, your precious little girls. Fall on us with your sweet and gentle Holy Spirit. Wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cause us to be the bride without spot or wrinkle, with our faces shining with your glory. Because beauty is coming from within and expressed outward. The light that is within our eyes and the hope that continues to spur us on. We thank you for all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I'm just enjoying being with y'all. You know, I just love y'all so much.
And, you know, God gives us these relationships, you know, the good and the difficult. I mean, it's the difficult ones that shape us from the inside, that develop that character of Christ within us, because not all of us were just born to be lovely. Yeah. I mean, just automatically, you know, some of us had, you know, so much heartache as children and have overcome so much. But it's in that overcoming that we walk in such greater measures of love and gratitude towards the Lord. And just, you know, I don't know of anyone that walks in such a place of such perpetual joy and love as Veronica. You know, when you're around Veronica, she was one with a pure heart. She sees things in the realm of the Spirit, and there's been so much faith and trust in the Lord in so many areas of her life. And I only lift up Verona because of the humility that's in her heart. And, you know, God gives us people in our lives that we admire. And it's those qualities and attributes that that person possesses that we want to be like. And you find, you know, there's always going to be somebody who's negative in your life. You know, whether it's a family member or a friend or a coworker, and you want to avoid them. And there's those times when you don't have anything to give that you want to run from them or avoid them. But when you allow Christ to love through you that person and to be lifted up, then you can love those people that are difficult to love, but they're in your life for a purpose. And it's again some of that sharpening, you know, that we need to be polished and patient. But Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace Peace is priceless. Peace is priceless. When you're anchored in that place of peace, there's no weapon that can be formed against you that can prosper. That peace, that love, that joy. Again, that joy comes from being thankful and finding things to be thankful about. Sometimes maybe a part of our body may fail us, you know, and get wounded, or you have to go through surgery, or you have to spend money correcting some part of your body, whether it's your teeth or something. You're like, oh, I don't want to be spending money on things like this, because you know, our bodies are aging and they're decaying. Sometimes we're going to fall apart in some areas. But, you know, finding things to be thankful for in our body, again, every other area of our body is like, thank you that my body is aligned with you. And we can fight these things, again, with our attitude, the thankfulness of our tongues, the joy that's in our heart, being thankful for the many wonderful blessings we have in our lives. And living large from the inside out. And, you know, we've been given so many messages, the sanctified imagination, seeing that place of peace, seeing that place where our families are living in that harmony, and seeing that expected end, that the Lord has that final outcome of good and not evil. And that's what Jeremiah 29:11 says. 29:12 goes on saying, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And see, I'm going to go kind of slow today. I'm going to do something I don't usually do. I'm going to, but I'm just going to pull things in and ask the Holy Spirit to cause these things to really settle into your heart as we speak forth His word, His truth, to displace any of the lies of the enemy about who we are in Him. It's going to be a pursuit of our life. Pursuing truth and the renewing of our minds and replacing those grooves like a record of old patterns of thinking. We have to create new patterns of thinking. And once you do this, you know, 21 to 30 days, it creates those neurons within our brain and our new ways of thinking. I've read this recently. I want to share this with you. Neuroscientists have discovered that you have the capacity to create an almost infinite number of new neural connections in your brain when you run new thought patterns. Again, it's that disciplining from the inside to live large on the outside. And the Lord wants us to be a witness of Him in us in every area of our life. You know, we don't need to feel guilty about driving nice cars or having a nice home or having our first home. You know, it's like, wow, God, is that possible? You know, it's like, it's again our belief system and our value and worth from the inside. And through rejection and negative programming when we're young, you know, some loneliness, isolation, when we don't have that from our parents. See, I had listened to an awesome teaching by Mark Baker back in September, and it had to do with the four kinds of love that we look for, that perfect love. And it just, I mean, there are, you know, truths just dropping you, and you go, waha, you know, aha, that's, I see it, I understand. And this one had to do with how we see the Father's perfect love through the parents that we're given, that we're born into. And we, growing up, are expecting for their love to be perfect, but them in their imperfections and in their own, whether it's generational curses that pass down, they develop these ways and patterns of living, behaviors, attitudes, thoughts, you know, the lust of the flesh, abounding addictions, curses, living in the curses rather than the blessings. So we seek this perfect love from our parents, but they can't give it to us. We grow into our young teen years, you know, as women, you know, we aren't really like these young men, these boys that are teenagers with their testosterone just, you know, burning on the inside and these coarse jesting, and I'm going to have this one and this one. But we as young ladies, many fall into that need for love through that person, through that attention that we're receiving from that young man, that teenager. You know, if we fall into losing our virginity in our teen years, and there's such a loss, and then it just perpetuates the sin of having lost that innocence. And then, you know, most of the time, the children, you know, these young ladies don't realize that young man got what he wanted, and he's off. He got a trophy, and he can share it with his buddies in the locker room. But she's left a void of understanding and confusion. Then it's like, well, I've already done this. I've already sinned. I'm going to keep sinning. So it perpetuates that pain and the abuse of our bodies, rather than respecting ourselves. And then the more guilt and the more shame just comes, and you see the snare of the enemy from the time that we're born, growing up, parents to seeking romance and that love, that perfect love through that person. And again, that love is just imperfect, and you know, look at where it leaves us. And then you look for it in your family, and your families are imperfect, you know. And then you look for it in friends. And then they can betray you, disappoint you. Their love isn't always going to be perfect either. So when we find that perfect love in Him, it's like anything is possible. We could do anything because He knows the plans He has for us. When we seek His mind, His heart, remove the limitations of fear of rejection, fear of not being good enough, you know, we begin to become beautiful from the inside out. And it's shown that inner confidence comes forth. And you begin to attract those things that you long for and that you desire, whether it's that great job. I remember when I was really searching, it's like, you know, who am I? What am I here for? I began to question God in my mid-20s, not really surrendering my heart till I was 28. But again, nobody ever telling me about Christ. But once He did, that seed of hope was placed in me. But it's a process of transformation. So you come out of these things, and it's a gift, and you know, just like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a gift. But then it's over time that the tongues comes forth. It's over time that process of transformation takes place. I mean, so many of us think, oh, I just want to be fixed like this. And you know, next month marks in March, Sozo being here for a year, and it's been life changing. I know for me, and I know for you, for those of you that have received that gift of walking out some of those things that were sown into our hearts when we were vulnerable as children, when we were subject to our parental care and they didn't really have the wherewithal to really cover us spiritually and protect us from those things through prayer and breaking off those curses from our family line. And, you know, in giving my heart to Christ, I had seen how searching His heart for His plan for me, how He began to just hold my hand and walk me step by step into the next thing and the next thing. And, you know, I never really knew much about goals. I think goals were set for you along the way through your educational system. You know, you've got to do this. You know, this is the goal for you. And then you accomplish that, you're going to graduate. You know, so there's goals that are in place. But we really need to seek the Father's heart for those plans that He has for us. And when I was a brand new believer, I didn't even know how to talk to God. I would get out a journal, somebody said, write things down. I'm like, okay. You know, it's just so, I guess, teachable. It's like, this is a whole new way of living. And I never really, you know, most of us probably didn't have much of that growing up with our parents, because that's really, you know, where it all begins. But I would just write down, okay, what am I to do? What do I love? And He would guide my hand in the questions I would pose to Him about those gifts that He's placed within me. Because, you know, the two laws hinge on loving the Lord your God with all your heart and then loving your neighbor as yourself. So when you find that you're giving and you become a giver, you think about others more than you think about yourself. And that's how I was brought into a business that was a service-based business. We provided a service, which were people. And I, over time, began to see God's hand in how I was helping other people. And so when you find that, you know, you do what you love, and really the bottom line is helping other people. Those things that He puts inside of us, we think, well, what can I do? You know, I've lived all my life. I haven't, you know, achieved any goals, or it's too late, or there's, you know, what can I do? You know, it's like we have to get our eyes off of ourselves and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is it that your plan and your purpose is for me here on the earth. And really, it gets back again to the two laws, the royal law of love, of loving others over yourself. Same thing in marriages, putting the other person before yourself. And I'm not saying being a doormat, but there's a balance in these things. You know, when you meet the needs of others, you meet your own needs. And even, I just love how, you know, when we're teachable, we just keep getting more and more aha moments. It's like, I love the sozo because of that. When you give truth to those that you're ministering to, but they're getting it for themselves. You're like, ah, you're just rejoicing with them because they're getting it. And I don't have to preach to somebody because it's the Holy Spirit that's revealing these things. And even as wives, you know, often the temptation in our role as mothers is to put the children before our husbands. And when I took a step back and even got a, you know, it's like, whoa, because we tend, you know, with our children being younger, they need us. You know, especially when they're infants, they just need so much of us. They're so dependent. But over time, they become a little more independent. But, you know, as the Lord is preparing your hearts, or even if you're married or there's a desire to be married or to enrich your marriage, it's a matter really of companionship with your husband, comforting him, being the Holy Spirit to your husband, praying for him, interceding him, building them up, praising them for who they are in Christ. And so, again, allowing the Lord to bring out those things that are in our hearts and the gifts and the talents to serve others. And so I believe it's so important for us to find what our passion is. And if we're not really doing those things, because there could be many areas of passions. I mean, I love to take pictures and I love to do things with the children. And my husband, you know, no, I don't think it's escaped anybody. He loves golf. So I'm like, okay, I knew a time would come when I'd get back out there and play golf with him. And with, you know, the children, I have Victoria with me, you know, more of the days than not. She's at school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But she's going to be going into kindergarten. So the Lord's already saying, you know, spend a day a week with your husband in something that he loves. And I knew it was like, you know, in the by and by, you know, one of these days. Yeah. But I just know that our lives have to wrap around our husbands and them being in, on our heart, you know, Christ first in everything, because he's our identity. He forms and shapes us. And those things that are hidden in the innermost quarters of our thought life will sooner or later reveal themselves in the outer areas through our words and actions. I want to just quote just a short excerpt about this because it really all ties into even that magnificent testimony that Violet gave. And just, you know, when we change, it causes others around us to change. We can't change that person. You know, I know many of us have been desperate with our spouses and tried to, you know, leave books open, the Bible, you know, maybe he'll read that passage I circle four times that's going to change him, you know, or little pamphlets around the house or, you know, but it's the prayer of our heart. We can't change it, but the prayer of our heart and the intercession of our heart, you're preferring them over yourself and those things that they need. But really we're to win them over with our attitude, with our heart, with our love, and, you know, with that meek and quiet spirit. And we can't try to bring about that change in them, but we can change how we are and how we react and respond to those situations and not returning evil for evil. You know, many of the people that I've ministered to in Sozo, I mean, it's just like, I keep loving more and more of this ministry. And I know a number of you are involved in Sozo also, have been exposed to it, whether as a recipient or an intercessor. But again, as far as addictions go, this is something that I'm addicted to, you know, seeing others get set free. And there's such a joy that comes forth as a result of doing that and allowing those things that have been sown into the areas in our heart, the mind is not aware of. But when the Holy Spirit shines a light on those things, it comes forth. And, you know, we have to be such a governor of our own mind, our thoughts, our tongue, the words that come forth. I believe this will just be a perpetual challenge, but the more that you find that you conquer it, the more you're going to live in it. And then you're going to find that you live in that place of peace and unconditional love and that joy. And again, with Sozo, what I've found, sometimes there are people that just, they want to keep punishing themselves. They want to be on the cross for things that they had done. They don't want to forgive. But if you just sit there long enough with them, it's like from a hardened heart, they begin to come cross over. And it's like, no, I want to forgive. Because we release the Holy Spirit to go after that person, whether it was a husband that's hurt you through the years. I mean, you just forgive and you just wipe the slate clean. You can't change that person, but how you look at that person or their heart or even have the eyes to see what they've gone through, there's more of that love and compassion that comes forth towards your husband for the things that they've gone through, or for through that sister or that friend, that parent. I mean, we hold no one harmless. We don't point blame at anybody. We hold them harmless. It's really, again, the snare of the enemy. You find from the very beginning of our existence, our creation, but God has such a plan of good, and the enemy evil. And we're going to continue to find that place when we pursue the Lord of who He is as He's revealed through us. But everything, listen to this, this is really cool. And again, it just shows us the power that is in our words and our thoughts. Everything, and I'm quoting from Commanding Your Morning, everything in the universe begins with and revolves around two things. Everything, just think about that. Everything in the universe begins with and revolves around two things, words and thoughts. Words and thoughts, amen. That's what I said. I was like, wow. You know, I had that wow moment. I was like, I thought on that. I mean, from the beginning of time, anything that's ever been created began with a thought. And then you put power through your words and defining what it is that you saw in your mind where these things have been created. Everything that's been created. I mean, all the way to the beginning of God's word, Genesis, let there be light, the power of those words and Him seeing that. And again, how we see ourselves. Athletes, back in the 70s, the East Germans were excelling in every area in the Olympics because they used mental imagery and that visualization of themselves, because the mind cannot separate reality and imagining it. So that you see it in your mind's eye enough times, you'll see yourself doing it. You'll fulfill the prophecy. And when you put it into practice, and again, applying these things that we know to be true. So we can excel in anything, but we've got to remove those limitations on ourselves because of the awesome God that we serve. And so we can't look at, well, I don't have an education. Well, I don't have enough money. I mean, it's like arguing with God. God came to Gideon, and He says, who, me? You know, I'm the least of the least of the least of the least. You know, I'm going to flee. I'm going to fly. You know, and the same thing with Moses. And look at what he did. He 6 million people. He delivered out of the hand of Egypt. The Pharaoh of Egypt. I mean, if we can really put ourselves into that place of where Moses was, the Moses was me, you know, I mean, with a stammering tongue. I mean, we can point out our flaws and our weaknesses and say, but God, I can't because of this. Look at this is, you know, this is who I am. And God says, no, this is who you are. So we can argue with God over here and go, but I don't have this and I don't have this, but I'm not, you know, that one has, oh, that one's so much better. Let them do it. But, you know, but with God, He says, all things are possible to those who believe. And so those things that we've dreamed about, we've got to give ourselves permission to dream with God and believe big with God. I mean, God doesn't want us just to go from, you know, paycheck to paycheck and barely survive. And you know, I find that those that are faithful in their giving, when you become a giver, God breathes on your finances. He caused those things to expand. And when we trust Him, even in the tithe, you know, I find those that struggle and don't tithe are those that struggle. You know, because there's it's like, I remember so many years ago, again, as a brand new believer, I found myself at a Baptist church and they teach about that 10%. It's like, this is the limit. I mean, this is the beginning. This is the minimum. You know, we said, you know, all this belongs to God. But if we don't give 10%, you're going to struggle. There's a truth in this. I mean, if we don't really try God in this, I did. I just, okay, God, I was making $700, I think, every month or every maybe 2 weeks. And I was giving $70, the whole, off the whole. I mean, this, I was just a few months old at the Lord. And I've never failed to give at least 10%. And I love doing it because, I mean, there's such a blessing in return for being a giver. And what we really have to get, and this is another, wow, God, you're so good. When we get a revelation of His plans for us, we're just stewards. You know, we don't own this money. You know, we think sometimes, you know, I've just got to hold on to this because this is what's going to make me through the, you know, I need this $10 for gas. You know, if somebody gives you $10, I need all of it. You know, I mean, it's like holding on to things, you know, whether it's our house. I'm a steward of the house God's given me. I'm a steward of the car he's given me. So I need to take good care of these things. I can't trash those things that God, I mean, these things belong to God. And we become a steward of those things. And when we're a good steward, starting with the little, he causes us to be faithful with much. And so again, that removes the limitations on God to really breathe on our finances, breathe on our lives, breathe on our careers, to breathe on our ministries when we're not so concerned about self and more concerned about others. But in blessing others, he blesses us. And I have found that when we allow his life to come through us, it just displaces more of those things that are hidden, those things that are in the dark. For these two things that everything hinges on, you know, in the universe, words and thoughts. I mean, I don't believe we're going to ever quit preaching and teaching about it because, you know, Joyce Meyer has a multi-million dollar ministry over the last, you know, 20 plus years, 25 years. And she's phenomenal in delivering truth and in such a place when so many women and men needed to hear these truths because so much of what we battle is in the realm of the soul. So, I mean, everything hinges on the soul, the things we think on sin, we're going to act on it. We think on it, mull over it enough. When we contemplate and meditate on sin, we're going to slip into sin. Whether it's an adulterous affair, whether it's the food addictions, you know, it becomes self-based and we fall into that trap. I mean, food, shopping, all these addictions all have to do with self. It's even, again, as I mentioned earlier, when we were little children, little babes, you know, so much of our life, I mean, it revolves around us. But over time, you know, I believe even as we mature, there is such a desire to help others. We get out of ourselves in that selfish way of thinking. And a friend shared, you know, just another one of those great, wow, you're right, this is true. You know, every addiction is about self. It's so selfish. It doesn't matter who it harms around them. The family, the children, gambling addictions. I mean, it erodes the core of the marriage, the trust, faith. I mean, you know, just the enemy coming in and just opening the door. Come on, steal anything you want. You know, steal the joy of our marriage. You know, sickness in a family member. We neglect the family and can get off balance where we're just going after that person rather than really having everything in a place of balance. You can help other people and love other people, but you can't neglect other areas of your life either at the expense of your family, of your children. I mean, there's a ministry that you have and having that divine alignment. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, your husband, yourself, your children. I see it in a lot of families where the children are running and ruling the homes, where the children are idols for the mothers. And they begin to, you know, again for themselves, recognize these things. And it's, oh, Lord, forgive me because I put this before you. Whether it's our children and not God, you know, our husbands. Whether it's our addictions that cause us to perpetuate sin in our lives at the expense of our family, our marriages. So these two elements form the creative substance that molds and shapes the destiny of humanity. Each of us becomes the person we are, chooses the direction we take, free will, and accomplishes everything we do based on two primary elements. The Word of God has the power to realign anything that is faulty mindset, belief systems, the ideologies, traditions, the traditions of man, the traditions of our family, doctrines of deception that lie and exalt themselves above the will of God for your life. Whatever you harbor in the innermost quarters of your thought life are going to come out. So 1 Corinthians 4:5 tells us, God will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. And again, the purposes of the heart, they are to be lined up with God's will for us. And in communicating with him, as we mentioned in Jeremiah 29:12, to call upon me. I love this one, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, which you do not know. See, that place that ignorance it can cost us, but when we seek after truth, wisdom, knowledge, joy, God's word, and allow it to come alive within us, that's where that life substance and power comes from. Those things that we ponder secretly in our hearts, or whether we set goals for ourselves, or whether we give ourselves permission to dream with God and begin to see ourselves doing the things that God has called us to. And, you know, there are things that I know you've not shared with anybody that God has shown you. And there's a timing in these things and a preparation in these things that he's calling you to. And again, that patience, walking it out in love, because we can get antsy. But governing those things, the sowing and the reaping, you know, the cause and the effect. But see, God is about increase. He's about abundance in every area of your life. In every area of your life. If there's something lacking in any area of your life, then we need to say, okay, Lord, why does the enemy have an inroad to me in this area? And again, you know, what I have found with sozo, you deliberately go and close those doors, but there's a renewing of your mind that must take place. And loving the word, loving the Lord your God. And so as Violet was saying also, you can take control of your life and experience success and prosperity divinely aligned with the Lord. You know, if we're aligning ourselves with the enemy, there's going to be lack and he's going to be stealing and robbing us. But when we align ourselves with God and his word, there's life and life more abundant. Your outer world is a direct result of your inner world. Every circumstance in life is a result of a choice. Every choice is the result of a thought. And, you know, God creates us with longings in our hearts. They're God-given longings. You know, you have in the area of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of your eyes, the pride of life. I mean, there's always going to be these opposing factors and influences in our life. And again, we're going to just always keep choosing life. Because we understand the consequences. Even, again, if we're in an argument with somebody, it's better just to kind of withdraw, close the mouth, not say things that you don't mean. Because, you know, the hurt in your heart is going to be perpetuated. You lash back out. There's harshness in your voice and in your tone. And it just returns evil for evil. But, again, it's a conditioning. And from the inner beauty of our hearts coming forth, exercising the self-control in these areas of our life. And the Lord making these things known to us, because that harsh word spoken can't be taken back. We've got to change the atmosphere with the things that we say and what we release out of our hearts and out of our spirits. And sometimes because we're just in our humanity, these things may come and agitate us, you know, people or a person. And what we need to do is just be guarding our mouths of the things that we say. Just take a moment, withdraw yourself to the Lord, surrender those things. And again, it's that practice and discipline. And much of that comes through maturity. I find that when we're offendable or easily offendable, you know, we need to get back to Christianity 101, you know, because we didn't get those foundations in our heart. And when we find that we can get offended about something, if there's somebody in your life that you're avoiding, but sometimes you don't need too much fellowship with certain people, you know. But if there's something that's unresolved in your heart, then, you know, we can begin to practice those things of renouncing those emotions, those ungodly emotions. You know, once somebody's gone through those, I say, you can do this with every opportunity that presents itself so you don't fall into sin and get angry and give place to the enemy. I, you know, from the moment that Sozo was brought here, I put those things into place, praying over my children, having them renounce fear, fear of the dark, fear of this or that, whatever fear may be trying to come in at such an early age. Hurt, if I've hurt my child in some way, I'll go to them quickly and say, I mean, I'm sorry for what I did. I was wrong. You know, humbling myself. I treat them with respect. I really do. I treat them like they're, you know, of a mature age. I think Victoria's vocabulary is so great because I've always spoke. I never really spoke to her in baby talk, you know. I mean, I spoke to her in big words, and I'm like, where'd you get that from? You know, she'll say, I mean, she's just, you know, amazing with the command of her language and her heart and just the skippity-doo-dah life that she lives before me, that we can find delight in our children because you're seeing them walk in so much freedom and not the things that we were subject to. And when you're sowing into these children, you know, whether they're your own or others, because I often, if some child of my friend is in my care, I respect the parents' wishes and their parenting attitudes and conscientious of those things and watch them as my own, you know, which to be expected, you know. But it's like I delight in being able to love the little children. And I you see how the Lord delights in loving the little children in their innocence. And, you know, it speaks to such volumes to us when you still see that innocence. And then you see those that have been broken and their bodies used and discarded. And your heart aches for them because you know that Jesus came to deliver them from those sins that were committed against them. But see, we're no longer victims. And we're overcomers in every area of our lives. And that's where he can bring that abundance and that joy forevermore. But the seven longings that we're born with, the longing for the assurance that we are enjoyed by God. And see, he created us for his pleasure. And when we ignore that place that we have with him, I mean, even today, not just when we were born again, we're just in this honeymoon place, but every day, enjoying his presence and being enjoyed by him, spending that time speaking to him throughout the day. And I know you all do that. I mean, this is, you know, and sometimes we find ourselves maybe not doing that, but I'm here to say just keep doing that. Just talk to him, walk with him in the coolness of the garden. And the more that you do that, the more you're able to receive that love from him, the Father's love, and then he can come in and envelop those areas. That's why I really believed in beginning this time together was seeing ourselves crawling into the Father's lap, because that place of love and security that only we can find in him, that perfect love. So we can express that love to others. Remove that selfish part within us. The longing to be fascinated. And I mentioned that a little bit earlier, when we're born with awe and wonder about even the simplest of things. And even when, you know, someone gives their heart to Christ, I mean, we just know that all of heaven rejoices. And just being fascinated and awe and wonder. I find that with the healing in Sozo. And people are like, wow. And when they have that moment when they're being healed from the inside out, I mean, so many people try to have this place and, you know, I'm great, everything's fine, you know, but really from the inside, I'm great, everything's fine. You can tell the difference in people because of the heart that they live in, but that on wonder with each of those Sozo sessions, everyone is so beautiful and unique and precious. And it's like God causes me to go into that place with them where they were that little child. I mean, it's like I see them as that little child. And those are the, you mean, and then when we come here and just the awe of each one, you know, being in such a place where they come into freedom right in front of your eyes. And I'm just in awe of the Holy Spirit. I'm just in awe and delight and joy as we find one healed or saved and delivered. Just in awe at the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we give him permission. Thirdly, the longing to be beautiful. And see, that inner beauty cannot replace that outer beauty, that vanity that we seek after and that Hollywood professes. And you see the emptiness of celebrities like Britney. I mean, she was a role model 10 years ago for all these youth coming up, but the destruction that's coming upon her life as a result of the exchange that she made and seeking all this fame, it's almost, I mean, I almost likened her and her life, the calamity and the chaos, and there's no peace that she can find in this world. So even with these people that are lifted up in man's eyes, we need to pray for them. You know, those celebrities, that they would come to a knowledge of who Jesus is and not chase after some form of religion, some form of doctrine and deception, but from the inside out. And again, our culture is obsessed with outer beauty. And even that's changing. When you think about it, I mean, there is a slow, gradual evolution of these things because the Holy Spirit is at work. And I mean, you don't have to be stick thin to be beautiful and, you know, anorexic to be accepted. And, you know, I mean, it's like, I mean, when we love ourselves, that's what is so attractive. And people are like, wow, it's not all the things that we have, but it's that love that's anchored by him. The longing to be great, that's the fourth one. making a difference, being significant, being successful. You know, a lot of people find themselves afraid of success, afraid of failure, afraid. So we have to do it afraid. That's one of the things that Joyce Meyer said, do it afraid. Whatever it is, I'm not comfortable getting up and speaking in front of people. I'm not comfortable doing whatever it is that God's saying, but see yourself doing it here first. And then you'll be comfortable doing it, whatever that is. And so the longing for intimacy without shame. Again, that shame comes into our hearts at such a young age because we sin and we're born as sinners, and that shame separates us from the Lord. But when we establish that intimacy, there's nothing that can cause that fear to come over us. I mean, that separation from God the Father for us to receive that love. Hallelujah. The longing to be wholehearted and passionate. To find ourselves passionate about something is so inspiring. And again, you know, being around people that have what you desire, whether it's wisdom, whether it's a passion for prayer, whether it's a teacher of God's word and the anointing that's on, it's like, you know, it's good to admire those qualities in somebody because it can manifest through that person. But when you find that you're attracted to that, it's because something's lacking in your own life. So when we find ourselves admiring those qualities about somebody, then it's because the Lord is looking to put more of that within us. So that longing to be passionate, the longing to make a deep impact, having that lasting effect on humanity from our time here. It's not just our life is just a vapor and then we're gone, but having that significant place of impacting other people's lives. We are desperate of a life of meaning that is filled with relevance and significance. We're created to want to make a contribution to others, to the lives of those that we care about. You just think about that. That's how God hardwired us. That's His plan and His heart for us. So I'm going to close with how I'd mentioned a little while back about the three C's. There's really now four C's. I'm not going to complain anymore. Because see, complaining, it's criticizing. It's saying, God, you're not doing enough here or doing it the way that I wanted, when I wanted. It's still self-based. I'm not going to complain anymore. I mean, just think about that. That's just so powerful. I'm not going to complain anymore. We just need to keep telling ourselves that so that we just speak life and not death over situations. So I'm not going to complain anymore. I'm not going to compete anymore. When you compete with others, you pit yourself against that person and it's still self-based. It's like, no, when that person is blessed and you rejoice with them, you're like, oh, you know, I didn't get a car. That person got given a car. No, where's my car? Man, you don't care about me, do you, God? Why is that person getting that? You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, how funny are we? I mean, it's just these patterns of thinking that we're going to go, oh, praise God, you give him a car. And it's not, well, I'm next. It's like, oh, praise God. Oh, you got a car. Great. God bless you. Oh, you got a good job. Great. God bless you in that. Cause him to prosper in every area of your life. But if you intercede for others, God, with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, is interceding for you because he's looking at the attitude of your heart. Because these are tests. Rejoicing with those that are rejoicing. So no more competing, no more comparing. Negative mouth, stop it. Don't come into agreement with it. If there's somebody that brings an agitation in your heart, go to the throne. Go to the throne and intercede for them because, you know, you're carrying that burden, you're carrying that yoke. We got to surrender that person. And then God has permission to go after them. No more complaining, no more competing. We all win. No more comparing yourself and no more compromise. No more compromise. You think about those things. You know, God's telling us to do this and do that. Turn the TV off. You know, spend time with your children. Play games with them. Quit running and going shopping. You know, I mean, it's those things really. You know, no more compromise. In that relationship with the Lord, seek me while I may be found, and I will show you great and wondrous and mighty things. Again, be a giver. Be a giver. We're so rich. We have so much abundance. And when we think on those things, overwhelming what God has done for us. But again, we're just stewards. We don't own these things. And the better we are as stewards of, you know, of these things, whether it's the finances, our homes, our marriage, being a good steward of what God has given. Not, you know, I own my husband, you know. I mean, we got to have that security and that love and that God's, that covenant relationship. You know, I don't have to walk in fear or jealousy. You know, as Pastor Todd's up, he goes, I know my woman loves me. You know, he boasts of that. And it's a good thing because it's that secure and holy covenant and love that you were created for each other. And God brought you together and nothing can separate that. And believing for that in the husband that God has for you. And even if he's not there yet, still believing God for that. So, I just want to thank you for your love that you've shown and for listening so intently and just the agreement in your hearts and your spirits during this time. And commend you on your walk of maturity before the Lord, how you choose others over yourself, how you do love greatly. Because, I mean, there's no measure on love. The more you give, the more he's going to give you to give. You know, being generous in all these things is such a place of freedom in walking with him, a place of freedom and victory. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's been sown into our hearts. Father, I thank you that you seal it by your Holy Spirit, that you cause us to be quickened in these things that have brought truth and life to our hearts and our minds, that we may walk out this word, Father. I thank you for these beautiful women, the inner beauty that is within that causes them to be so youthful in their appearance, the joy in their step, Lord, the dancing before you privately and before you, Lord, with abandonment, Lord, not conscientious of self, but just delighting in you. I thank you for the many blessings we have, our family, our friends, our children, our husbands, the husbands that are coming, for those that are waiting in that place of patient love. As I did, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you give them your best. You've saved the best for them, Father. So we rejoice in you this day. And again, I say rejoice. And the ladies of the house say, hallelujah and amen.